Hello, my name is Dan Hanesian. My colleague Angelo Perna and I have worked on the siting and design of the manufacturing facility using hazardous materials, and we'd like to present the work that we did to you. To introduce the topic, during the last decade, the incorporation of design concepts into the freshman year has gained widespread acceptance in the United States. These were sponsored by the NSF Educational Coalitions, and the New Jersey Institute of Technology is a part of the NSF Gateway Coalition of 10 engineering schools, which are joined in the year of 1992. The program intentions are to move the exposure of students to design concepts traditionally given in the senior year capstone design courses into the entire undergraduate curriculum, beginning with entering freshmen. This was done in response to the needs of industrial colleagues, faculty, our administration, and our students. The goals of the administration was to have student retention, have curriculum revision, and have engineering design up front. And also to expose the students to the various engineering disciplines that they could choose from. The goals of industry and our industrial colleagues were on technical skills. They generally always have been fairly satisfied with what our students can do technically at the start of employment, but they always felt that the communication skills needed improvement, and these were both oral and written. They wanted the students to have computer abilities, and they wanted the students to be team players. They had to be a part of a team and to work with a team, and they wanted the students to be off and running. That is, they wanted them to come on a job and then get started on a project right away. The instructors had goals to teach design through chemical process analysis, to have teamwork concepts, develop their report writing, develop their oral presentation skills, and to give them real engineering exposure up front. And the students' goals were to have interesting and exciting programs that they could learn from, to expose her to engineering early in their career, and to acquire experience with a minimal effort. The objective of the program, this overall objective, was to enable freshmen to work on real engineering problems at the start of their education and not only in the traditional senior capstone design courses. Specific objectives were to move engineering design to the freshman year, to have a team approach to problem solving, to ignite interest in freshmen about engineering with a hands-on experience, and to improve student retention, to initiate curriculum change, to couple freshman engineering design with computer science and humanities, and to learn computer applications early, and to learn to communicate both orally and in written reports early. The Freshman Engineering Design Program, FED 101, the Fundamentals of Engineering Design course, was institutionalized at NJIT in 1994. It was offered to all first-time, full-time freshmen. It was a one-semester course, 6 hours a week, 2 credit hours. There were 3 concurrent sequential projects. The first was in mechanical engineering, which was for 14 weeks, and it included CAD graphics. This project was required of all freshmen. Chemical, civil, and environmental, and electrical and in computer engineering, however, developed modules which were 7 weeks each, and the students had to pick only 2 of the 3 that they would study. These courses were paired with humanities and social science course in communication skills. Interdisciplinary modules were developed in biomedical engineering and electrical and computer engineering together. The faculty developed the electrocardiographic device or Prepchuk, and an emergency medical service field radio. The mechanical engineering faculty and electrical and computer engineering faculty got together and developed a module on the floppy disk drive of the computer and the heat sink of the CPU fan. The mechanical engineering and industrial engineering and manufacturing engineering got together, and they developed the lawn sprinkler design and the stepladder. Interdisciplinary modules were developed by chemical engineering and civil and environmental engineering faculty who got together. In the spring of 1996, we developed the design and siting of a municipal landfill. In the fall of 1996, we developed the design and siting of a municipal wastewater facility. In the spring of 1997, the chemical engineering and civil and environmental engineering faculty got together and developed the design, siting, and environmental analysis of a major connecting highway and the design and siting of the hazardous substance manufacturing facility, which chose aspirin production. The siting of hazardous material manufacturing facility in a residential community, the manufacturer of aspirin, is what we would like to talk to you about today. The course is 14 weeks, 2 hours and 10 minutes per week. We worked in groups of 4 students each, but that varied. Students were also assigned to computer applications class for 2 hours and 10 minutes, and the course was also paired with a humanities course. The siting of the hazardous materials facility, with minimum guidance and independent research and site visits, the environmental restrictions, political restrictions, and economic aspects of the site were discussed by the civil and environmental engineering faculty, who gave the students a United States Geological Survey map to help them at their site visits. Students had to make a site selection at the end. So we asked ourselves, how are the students going to be able to do this? First of all, they're freshmen. They have no exposure or experience, and they need a lot of guidance. The solution to the problem was to develop a workbook to guide the students through the design. And for the siting of a manufacturing facility using hazardous materials, the civil engineering faculty and my colleague Angie Perna developed the Fundamentals of Engineering Design workbook to handle their aspects of the siting of the process. And this is a table of contents of what the manual contains. The civil and environmental engineering faculty discussed with the students the Toxic Substances Control Act of 1976, the Resources Conservation Recovery Act, the RCRA, the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act of 1986, and the Hazardous Material Transportation Act of 1975. They also discussed definitions of hazardous waste. F-waste was hazardous waste from non-specific source. K-waste was hazardous waste from a specific source, and U/P-waste was commercial chemical product. The civil and environmental engineering faculty met with students on a regular basis, and they reviewed what the students had done in the way of planning, project feasibility, funding, site selections. The students received the USGS quadrangle map that I told you about earlier. They received soil information from the Soil Conservation Service, U.S. Department of Agriculture in Somerset County, New Jersey. And the students visited potential sites on their own. They spoke to government officials on their own and determined 3 possible sites and finally decided on 1. The siting continued groups of isolated 3 to 4 possible sites. They made a final choice of 1 site, and 2 of the groups picked sites in the Hillsboro, New Jersey, near Route 206, and two of the groups picked sites near Reddington, New Jersey, near the Hunterdon County-Somerset County boundary, near Route 202. The typical student site recommendation, the overall site evaluation, the students felt that their site number one, which was farmland, Three Bridges in Reddington, New Jersey, is a site that is best for their project for the following reasons. The great transportation from main roads, rivers, and railroads, a large amount of land which will be easy to work with and big enough to maintain our facilities capacity, a good soil that will make building and cleaning up easy. They continued with the site evaluation in Reddington, New Jersey. It was a nice area with a low crime rate and nice townsfolk, nice and kind people who care about their lands, so we know that they won't damage anything of ours. The students felt that this site is not affected by flood or involves wetlands. It's not near a residential area for people to complain about being endangered by chemicals. It's a low-taxed area. It's located in a developing area which will attract business in the near future. And although the land in this area is expensive, it is cheaper than lands of lesser quality. We have more information about the site than the other two. That was one of their reasons. The plant cost data sheet that they developed, we have to pay for the following, the students said. Receiving and shipping area. We have to pay for laboratory, administration building, management building, parking lot or deck, and the general cost that they came up with. The cost for site cleaning was $3,000 per acre, per quarter of an acre. The cost for excavation was $6,500 per quarter of an acre. The calculated plant area was 110 acres. The safe separation distance was 440 yards. The total area of the land was 160 acres, of which 110 is for the plant. The cost of the land was $4,667,000. The excavation of the land cost $4,160,000. The cost of setting up the plant was $20 million, and the total cost came out to be $28,270,000. The chemical engineering faculty introduced the problem, the history, and background film on aspirin. They discussed the manufacture of aspirin. Step one, salicylic acid from phenol. The block diagram, the input-output from the block diagram, and a flow diagram. Step two was acetyl salicylic acid from salicylic acid, which is the aspirin, and acetic anhydride. Again, we had a block diagram with input-output. They determined how much acetyl salicylic acid to make and then what all the raw materials were. The flow diagram, the plant tour was taken of the Hoffman LaRoche Pharmaceutical Facility in Nutley, New Jersey. The chemistry of the process was the Kolbe-Schmidt synthesis. The chemicals used in the processes were determined, and the material safety data sheets for all chemicals used were obtained and studied, and the students identified health hazards. The chemical engineers are concerned with the process concept, the hazardous materials and health considerations, which they obtained from the material safety data sheets, and to discuss the health hazards for each chemical used in this process. For example, for the chemical phenol, they discussed inhalation, skin contact, eye contact, ingestion, target organs, and acute effects and chronic effects. The material balances around the process and the process units were made. Estimating the size of the manufacturing plant was undertaken, raw material requirements were determined, and pollution and abatement and prevention was given attention and discussed. The problem that we developed was to determine the size of the production facility. First, to do this, aspirin is used by people, so we asked them to determine and graph the growth of the United States population over the years. We asked them also to graph and determine the growth of U.S. aspirin production over the years. And then they had to estimate the amount of aspirin needed in the United States in the year of 2007 and estimate what share of this market they will be able to capture so they could determine the capacity of the plant. And that was the objective. They determined the quantities of all products and byproducts formed and of all the raw materials required. To do this, they assumed 100% conversion in each of the two steps and 99% process yield in each of the steps. They specified the waste streams, the quantities of these streams, and suggested methods of disposal. And they also discussed what pollution prevention improvements can be made to the process to reduce the waste streams in the first place. Then, how will the students do this task? They're freshmen, they have no exposure, no experience, and they need a lot of guidance. So again, the solution was to develop a workbook to guide the students through the design. And the workbook was the siting, process analysis, and design of a manufacturing facility using hazardous materials in a residential community, the manufacture of aspirin. This workbook guided them through the effort. The table of contents is shown here and here. The flow sheet that we took the process from was the old aspirin facility, which was located on a Pennsylvania Railroad siding in Trenton, New Jersey. This is a flow diagram that we obtained from the literature for that process, but we had to simplify it for the students in flow sheets and block diagrams. So this is a simplification of step one, how salicylic acid is produced. And this is a simplification of step two, how from salicylic acid and acetic anhydride in the presence of the solvent toluene, acetyl salicylic acid, which is aspirin, is made. And here's the block diagrams for the input-output of the raw materials and products and waste for step one, and this is the same block diagram for step two. The chemistry of the process, Kolbe-Smith synthesis, the chemical reaction to produce aspirin is the result of a two-step process involving numerous reactions of materials. The processes are shown in figures 1 and 2, which I just showed you, and each step is explained in the following explanation. If we take phenol and caustic soda and put it into a mixer, what happens is that the phenol reacts with sodium hydroxide to form sodium phenolate and water. The manufacturing aspirin begins here, and that's the reaction. The mixture is then fed to an autoclave where in the autoclave, the sodium phenolate is dried first to a finely divided powder. Then the autoclave is revolving heated ball mill. It operates under vacuum and at a temperature of 100 degrees, 30 degrees C. The water is removed from the process to dry the sodium phenolate. When the sodium phenolate is dry, carbon dioxide gas is introduced under pressure of 700 kilopascals and a temperature of 100 degrees. Sodium phenyl carbonate is first formed initially, and this chemical in turn reacts or isomerizes to sodium salicylate. Phenol is regenerated and recovered for recycle. The governing reaction here is sodium phenylate, two molecules react with one carbon dioxide to give you sodium salicylate and phenol for recycle. The rest is the purification process, the dissolution, the filtration, the precipitation, the centrifuge to recover the solid, dry the solid, and pack it. The dissolver and filter, water flushes the sodium salicylate out of the autoclave into the dissolver. It's mixed with activated carbon, which is added to remove color by adsorption. The solid activated carbon is removed in the filter that follows the dissolver and is recycled. The precipitator, sodium salicylate solution from the filter, is mixed with sulfuric acid, which precipitates the salicylic acid. the chemical reaction is the sodium salicylate reacts with sulfuric acid, 1 mole to 1 mole, to produce salicylic acid and sodium sulfate. The centrifuge then to precipitate salicylic acid, which is wet, is removed from the sodium sulfate solution and is sent to another dryer. The centrifuge operates much like the spin dryer in the laundromat during the spin cycle that knocks the water out of your clothes. This knocks the water out of the solid salicylic acid crystals. The solid salicylic acid crystals, which are wet, go through a dryer. They're dried first to drive off the water, and then the salicylic acid is purified by sublimation at a higher temperature, which means that it goes directly from the solid phase to the vapor phase, and then from the vapor phase, by redeposition, it comes back into the solid phase in pure form and then packaged. Step two of the process, the salicylic acid now is dissolved and mixed with toluene and acetic anhydride in a reactor, and it's held there at 88 to 92 degrees for about 20 hours, and it's refluxed. Depending upon the source you get, the time varies. The solution from the reactor, after reaction is complete, goes to the cooling tanks where crystallization takes place, and then it goes to a filter and then a dryer, and it's packaged. In step two of the reactor, the salicylic acid is mixed with toluene, acetic acid, and refluxed at 88 to 92 degrees for approximately 20 hours. The chemical reaction is salicylic acid and acetic anhydride react to form acetyl salicylic acid, which is aspirin and acetic acid. The reactor effluent passes through the cooling tanks, which crystallization takes place, hence the filtration where the mother liquor is recovered. The filtrate is recycled, and the filter solid, which contains the product, acetyl salicylic acid, is sent to a washer. That wash product is dried and packaged for sale. Typical student results that were obtained, they estimated the population of the United States in the year 2007 to be about 290 million people. The aspirin needed in 2007 is estimated to be 3.0 × 10⁷ kilograms per year, and they estimated their market share, the production capacity of their plant, to assume 5% of that, so their plant would produce 1.5 × 10⁶ kilograms per year of acetyl salicylic acid. And so they began their material balance, starting at the back of the process with acetyl salicylic acid at 1.5 × 10⁶ kilograms, and using stoichiometric principles, which we had to teach them, they back calculated through all the stoichiometric reactions that I showed you and determined the raw materials needed to come into step two and the materials that left step two in addition to the aspirin. Then the salicylic acid, the materials required, are shown in this table. The salicylic acid then, which amounted to 1.289 × 10⁶ kilograms per year that had to be produced, was the beginning point for step one process, and again through those reactions they back calculated to get the phenol, caustic soda, and carbon dioxide requirements and all the byproducts and waste made. And this table shows you the summary of that calculation. Pollution abatement and pollution prevention analysis. For the waste streams, the students said the sodium sulfate could be recovered and sold. Water could be purified and reused or retreated and discarded. The activated carbon could be recovered for reuse. The sulfuric acid, they didn't make any recommendation. For carbon dioxide, they didn't make a recommendation. And for acetic acid, they said to recover it and reuse or sell it. Toluene, no recommendation was made, but they should have said it's recovered and recycled. no pollution prevention recommendations were made. The conclusions of this study, the students enjoyed working on the project, the course was well received, students disliked oral presentations but did a fine job. The written reports require a great deal of effort by both the students and the instructors. The initial offering of the course led to development of the work but concept. The students gained important insights into the engineering profession. And for acknowledgments, we would like to thank for financial support for program development, the National Science Foundation, Gateway Coalition, the State of New Jersey, the New Jersey Institute of Technology, and the authors also wish to extend their appreciation to their students over this entire period, without whose help these programs would not have been possible. Again, my name is Dr. Darren Hanessian, at the Otto H. York Department of Chemical Engineering, New Jersey Institute of Technology. My telephone number is 973-596-3597. My fax number is 973-596-8436. And my email address is hanessian@adm.njit.edu. Please feel free to call me if you have any questions or if you need anything from me. Thank you very much.